Welcome to NFL Live. So glad you're with us. Lots of news around the league to get to, and we'll get to it, but there's a far more important story out of Detroit, and that's where we'll begin. The Lions canceled practice today to protest the shooting of Jacob Blake. Cell phone video showed Blake was shot multiple times in the back by Wisconsin police. His father says he's now paralyzed from the waist down. Today, instead of practicing, the Lions chose to address reporters as a team in front of their building to deliver a message that they will be part of the change in the United States against police brutality. Here's quarterback Matthew Stafford on what the day meant to him.
No football was talked about. We were brought together, and coach just opened the floor. You know, we knew there were going to be guys in there that had heavy hearts and guys that had similar situations or close calls that have happened to them and needed to get it off their chest. And those conversations lasted for hours, and it was incredible to be a part of it, just like it was all spring. But it was the first time that, you know, we've really dedicated a chunk of time to talk about it when we're all in the building together.
You know, we understand that about America and about people in America is that, you know, the narrative can kind of get shifted. And we understand that it's a sacrifice. You know, you might step on some toes, you might rough some feathers, but in order for change to happen, in order for something to happen, you know, someone has to be uncomfortable. And, you know, I think everyone inside these walls understand that, understand what it's going to come with, the backlash that it may come with.
A powerful statement from the Lions today. Marcus Spears, Dan Orlovsky, Mina Kimes here on NFL Live. Marcus, as you saw this unfolding just hours ago, what's your reaction?
It's important. And look, the whole moniker of stick to sports, athletes and activism, the things that we talk about, this is no longer a line that you draw. And I know everybody likes to run and huddle away and say sports is supposed to be a refuge and let's just do sports and don't worry about these things going on. What people have to understand is these situations affect the sportsmen, the guys that are actually playing the games. These are real life scenarios that they live through. And I thought what Matt Stafford said was so important, to listen to the stories of guys that have been through these type of situations before and have feared and the things that they express. So I think what the Lions are doing is admirable. It totally makes sense for the stick to sports crowd. Look, you are no longer living in that generation. These guys have voices. They want to use them to make us all better. And I think everybody should attach themselves to that and applaud that, as opposed to trying to find reasons why they should just play ball and not worry about the things that are happening in their communities.
I can't get over that image. I mean, it's so powerful just seeing them all. For the same reason that anytime you see a group of people, whether it's a protest or a march, coming together is powerful, because there's this added weight of all of them, regardless of who they are, their race, where they come from, coming together as a group and saying, we agree that this is wrong. In this case, racial inequity in policing, that something has to change, that enough is enough. I'll also add, Marcus, as far as the stick to sports argument goes, I completely agree with you. There are things that matter so much more than sports here. But when I look at that picture, I see a team I believe in, right? What is teamwork if not shared values? And there's no more important value than the sanctity of human life. To see that all of those people, yes, those men, agree on that and are willing to stand by side by side is tremendous for that organization.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree with that. You know, listen, there's a pocket of guys in the NFL that they're going to play really hard and do their job as good as they can because they want to be successful, right? They want to get paid. Then there's a great majority of the NFL that they want to play that hard or prepare that hard or play well because of the people they're doing it with. And I think the reality is this: when you sit in a locker room and you share space with other guys that are brothers and sons and husbands and fathers, and they've got pictures up of their families, there's these intimate relationships that really start to develop. And the reality is, I can't or I don't want to play hard with you or for you as a football player if I don't know you care about me. And I think this is a perfect example of those players really caring about each other, even though they may not experience it the same way. They're not going to be numb to this anymore. And you can't say we will do something and then the opportunity to do something presents itself and you don't. And so I played for the Lions for 7 years. I've never been more proud to be a small part of the Lions organization than I am today. So kudos to everyone there.
You guys mentioned it, and Marcus, I want to follow up with you on this. The leadership of Matthew Stafford, and maybe sometimes to me it feels like it's been underrated, but as his teammate, to watch him as your leader on the team stand up and say what he said today, what would that do to impact you?
Well, it just makes you fight harder for him, and it shows a level of respect and a level of understanding that he has. Listen, this is, as I talk about sports and intertwining with things that are going on in reality, the one thing about sports is it defines a lot of reality because it is different guys from different backgrounds that don't necessarily have an understanding of the way other people grew up. And it forces you to be in an arena where you listen to those stories and they touch your front door, quite frankly, more than most people in public. And that too, Laura, what you just asked, I got to give credit to Matt Patricia as well. I'm hard on Matt Patricia in football. And I've questioned some of the things he's done as far as coaching-wise, Darius Slay trade, from a football standpoint. But people have no idea how this is going to resonate and the respect level that these football players are going to have for Matt Patricia standing with them in this moment. That is so huge to know that the people in leadership, and that's why we talk about the 32 NFL owners, that's why we talk about general managers and presidents of these franchises being outwardly vocal about making sure that this message is getting out, being heard, and it's being addressed. Because when it comes from leadership, when it comes from a level of understanding from somebody that might have not had the same background as you growing up, but they are willing to listen and stand with you in these type of moments, it goes to another, the respect factor goes to a whole nother level. So I want to shout out Matthew Stafford, but I also want to shout out Matt Patricia.
Adam Schefter also with us here. And Adam, you've been listening to what everyone said so far. Just what's your reaction and what can you add?
Well, you hear Marcus credit Matt Patricia, and the truth of the matter is this is the latest incident that has led to the protest today with the Detroit Lions making the wise decision that they have a voice and they can step forward. But the fact of the matter is these conversations have been going on with this team led by Matt Patricia all offseason. And if you spoke to the members of the Lions organization, they recounted the multiple conversations that they had that were highly emotional, that were incredibly memorable. And they didn't just occur today when Matthew Stafford said he was never prouder to be a member of the Detroit Lions. This was going on throughout the offseason. This today is a continuation of all the conversations that started after the death of George Floyd. This is just the next step in that process. And these men who have come to know each other in a more intimate way and understand what they've been through together and know their backgrounds and their past experiences coming together one more time in the latest evidence, in the latest incident that is unacceptable in this society today. And so they knew they had a voice. And this, again, is a continuation of everything that they've been talking about since George Floyd. And they step forward today to continue to use their voice and build upon the conversations that they've been having throughout the spring and the summer.
Yeah, the Lions' voice is amplified today and united, a powerful image that is reverberating across the world of sports and beyond.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We're back on NFL Live, and to our top story today, the Cardinals and safety Budda Baker have agreed to a deal making him the highest paid safety in league history. Yeah, you heard it right. The highest paid safety in league history. Adam Schefter has all the particulars on this deal, so catch us up, Schefty. What's going on with it?
Well, Laura, here's a situation where the two sides have been talking about a new deal throughout the course of the offseason, and they came together to where, with Budda Baker going into the last year of his deal, Arizona wanted to get him signed up to a new contract. And the two sides did that agreeing to a four-year, $59 million extension. Now, Buda Baker is exactly the kind of player Arizona wants to build around. He's only 24 years old. He works as hard as anybody else. Great character, just the kind of guy that they want there. Amazingly enough, for all the plays that he has made, and he's made a ton of them out in the desert, he's never intercepted an NFL pass. Now, you're not paying him to intercept passes. You're paying him for big tackles, big hits, the kind of leadership that he provides. But it's just an interesting sidelight to a deal for a safety that now becomes the richest deal in NFL history.
Yeah, to your point, maybe not being paid for the interception. So here is why he got paid. Buda Baker has been a jack of all trades for the Cardinals since entering the league in 2017. He's one of just two players to log 600-plus snaps at safety, cornerback, and linebacker over the last three seasons. The other is Malcolm Jenkins. So last year alone, Baker racked up 147 total tackles, the most by a defensive back in a season over the last decade. Mina, you hear those numbers. You hear that Baker is now the highest paid safety in NFL history. Did the Cardinals overpay?
A bit. But first, I should say, being the highest paid any position in the NFL is a little like being the world's oldest human. It just reflects the passage of time. I know that's a little dark if you think about it, but it makes sense. He's not the best safety. He's not even amongst the very top tier to me, but he's good at many things. Incredible at run defense. Great at rushing the passer, as you saw. Less so in coverage. I've seen people compare him to Tyrann Mathieu, and I see a world of difference. For example, when targeted in coverage, Tyrann Mathieu allowed a passer rating of 67, had four picks. Buda ranked 55th among safeties, passer rating of 115. So that is a problem area for them, but he does bring a lot of other skills to the table.
Marcus, jump in here. What do you think about Buda and what he does bring to the table in your eyes? Do you agree with what Mina just said?
No, I disagree with Mina, and I knew this day was coming, and I'm glad it came on day two so we could see what it feels like. Here's the thing. Sometimes your value is tied up into what schematically your team wants to do. This is what Buda is good at, playing on every level of the defense. You see the physicality, taking the tight end back into a run, and then that ability to split out here on George Kittle and get the pass break up. And listen, I know that's two plays, but there's the entire story that Buda Baker paints in order for Vance Joseph to be able to run the type of defense he wants to. Think about this, too. They drafted Isaiah Simmons, who's a similar player in the same vein, just a bigger body, probably bring him off the edge a little bit more. So Buda may have more of those opportunities on the second level to get in front of balls and maybe pick some footballs off. There's a lot of plays that this guy makes. But to Mina's point, like if you look at it overall arching and we talk about it in the media and you compare him to the Tyrann Mathieus and Jamal Adams of the world, you may not see it. But the value is tied in what Arizona Cardinals want to do with Buda Baker, and I think they didn't overpay for him.
Yeah, Marcus, I agree with you. Listen, the NFL is about space right now. You guys hear me talk about offensive space all the time. And as a defender, you better be able to tackle in space, understand leverage, use your teammates in the sideline. I mean, that's the best open field guy in running back-wise in the NFL, McCaffrey. He saws him off. Watch him come from the right side of your screen here, inside out. Understand that you got some outside leverage help and then saw that tail back off. Like, as a safety, you better be able to play in space right now in the NFL. And, again, you guys hear me talk about it. Offenses will create space and then attack it after the snap. You either better be able to shut down that space beforehand, be a lockdown corner or a run, you know, guy that's stout in the run game, or you better be able to excel with tackling in space and playing sideline to sideline. So, yeah, you want turnovers, of course, but the game right now is about space, and Buda Baker plays in space as a safety as good as anybody in the NFL right now. He deserves to get paid.
Buda Baker led the NFL with 104 solo tackles last season. He got paid. Let's get to another safety who remains unsigned, and that would be Earl Thomas. Everyone keeps telling us the Cowboys aren't interested. Even head coach Mike McCarthy said they like what they already have. But Jerry Jones, he just can't close the door. Marcus Spears alluded to us that this might be going on. Let's hear what Jerry had to say about Earl Thomas.
These decisions, like the one you're talking about with Earl, they never served up like a softball. They always come in awkward. They always come in with a little hair on it, a lot of different ways. And that's where I step in and basically put all this together to whether or not it is smart to make a decision like that. I haven't visited personally with Earl. I don't know that any of them has, but that would probably be a next step if we're at a point where we need. sit there and activate this thing.
So Jerry Jones is sort of leaving the door a little bit open. Shefty, you told us yesterday that this is probably not happening for the Cowboys, at least in the immediate future right now. Right. What do we know about their interest in Earl Thomas?
Look, here's the situation, Laura. We're seeing teams and coaches come out and say that they're not interested in Earl Thomas. Kyle Shanahan of the 49ers, who had been linked to Earl Thomas, came and said the team never discussed signing him. You had Bill O'Brien say the same thing down in Houston. And so one by one, some of these teams are falling by the wayside. Eventually, it will get to a situation where Earl Thomas is going to recognize that he's not going to get the type of contract that he wants. And once that happens, and he can't get the contract he wants, and he's getting a deal somewhere at or above veteran minimum, wouldn't he rather go to Dallas than anywhere else? And Dallas isn't going to pay the money that a lot of people thought it would take to get Earl Thomas. But if the price comes down to a certain spot, and there are people in the organization that would prefer not to make that move, could and would Jerry Jones step in and say, all right, we've got a bargain for a guy like Earl Thomas, and I don't care what anybody says, we're going to get it done. And it could head that way eventually. But Earl Thomas, again, is not getting probably as much interest as some people thought. And the Dallas Cowboys realize that the price might not be as high as some people thought.
Earl Thomas with 7 Pro Bowl selections. Marcus, is this Cowboys defense good enough without Earl Thomas to make a Super Bowl run?
Nope. If they get him, they are. Period. Listen, we are talking about a perennial all-pro Pro Bowl safety, hybrid, whatever you want him to play, he can be inserted. We just looked at Buda Baker, and we talked about his multiplicity and the things that he can do for a defense. You need guys like Earl Thomas on defense right now in this NFL if you want to win. What did the Kansas City Chiefs go out and do in order to help them put their defense over the top? They went and got Tyrann Mathieu. What did all of the teams we look at when they make moves for these players, when we see these individual moves being made? And I like what Shefty's point is. Earl probably won't get the money that he'll get. But every team that is saying no, they're not interested, know that they would potentially, if not for sure, upgrade their secondary if they brought Earl Thomas in to play safety for their team. So, listen, Jerry said what everybody needs him to say and what he was going to say anyway. The book's still open on Earl Thomas, and they probably going to go get him.
Marcus, I know we disagreed earlier, but I'm so glad we can come back together on this because I am right there yes. with you. And I'm so glad you brought up the Chiefs, man, because that is the perfect example. A team with a superlative offense. Dallas was second most efficient last year per Football Outsiders. And a below average defense. That's what that Dallas Cowboys defense was last year. Did they get better? No. They lost Byron Jones. They lost Robert Quinn. Yes, they added Everson Griffin. But they need one more piece to make that jump that the Chiefs defense made from being below average to above average. They're not the best defense in the NFL. They don't have to be. They just have to be good. And with Earl Thomas, this Cowboys defense is good.
Look, I get it. It's what you do on the field, and certainly he does great things on the field. But, Dan, when you think about what he brings to the table potentially as a teammate, what are you concerned about?
It's as simple as this. Are you going to be an asset or are you going to be an issue? Because you guys have labeled off how good of a player he is, right? We can answer this question of, is our football team going to be better with Earl Thomas on it? Yes or no? Now, most of the teams are going to resoundingly say yes. All right, then if the answer is yes, then why are we not bringing him in? And that's where he becomes the issue or the asset. If he's going to be an issue, if you don't think he's going to fit in your locker room, then you can't bring him in. But you know you're a better football team with him. You know he's an asset to your football team. So if that is the case, then is it the off-the-field stuff? Is it because he just got let go from Seattle, essentially, and Baltimore? Do you think there's an issue with his money? That's the question you have to ask. Yeah. If you're a better football team with Earl Thomas and you decide to not bring him in, answer me why and justify it to your teammates.
Yeah, Earl Thomas is 30 interceptions, the most among active safeties, third most among all players. All right, so there were some people on this set that really bought into the Browns last season, thinking that they looked at the roster and thought, man, they're going to be really, really good. 2019 was a disappointment, but the stars are bright for this next season. And Odell Beckham Jr. speaking about Baker Mayfield today, what he's seeing from his quarterback already in this preseason.
As far as him, he looks great. Mentally, physically, he's got like a 4-pack now. He's doing great, man. He's just in a good place. And as a teammate and as a guy who's always been a fan of Bake, as a brother, it's great to see him in this place. So we're just working each and every day.
Did you catch that he said Baker Mayfield has a 4-pack? Mm. That's like Dan. Actually, Dan has a 2-pack. Anyway, Dan, what's the difference about the Browns offense this season versus 2019?
Yeah, they're going to major in what Baker Mayfield does best, and that's the play action pass. And the play action pass, it really helps your whole offense. But what will really help is allow a shorter quarterback to see a little bit better. Think about this when it comes to the play action pass and what the Vikings have done. Last year, almost 30% of their passing offense was utilizing the play action pass, and it allowed Kirk Cousins to just see so much of the field, and that's what it's going to do for Baker. Look at the offensive line right now. Just pre-snap, it's about 15 feet wide. Imagine that ball getting snapped and just drop back. Well, that's going to restrict the quarterback's vision. Now with a play-action pass and you motion or spread that offensive line out, you've got 25 feet now created where the quarterback is going to have multiple passing lanes to see through. This is going to allow Baker to see everything so much more clearly, like we saw Kirk Cousins do for a couple years under Kevin Stefanski. It's going to allow Baker to play better. It's going to allow that offensive line to play better. The addition of Austin Hooper and probably one of the best natural running backs in the NFL in Nick Chubb. This offense is custom tailor-made for Baker and everyone to play so well, and that's why I expect this huge, huge jump.
Dan, you told us before the show you don't eat carbs, thus explaining the aforementioned 6-pack. Normally, I wouldn't trust anyone who says that, but I actually trust you because you are 1,000% right there about Baker Mayfield and what that offense needs. Specifically, they need to make life easier for Baker Mayfield, and that's exactly what Kevin Stefanski and Gary Kubiak did in Minnesota, and it's not just about play action. Kirk Cousins led the league in design rollouts last year with 43, had the second-best passer rating when he did that. Baker Mayfield had the fourth-best passer rating, but only 10 designed rollouts. I want him on the move with easy completions options at every level. It's going to make his life that much easier.
Mm. Yeah, Shefty, when you think about Baker and even just some of the personal side of all of this, he's come out and said that he kind of lost himself a little bit, now has a renewed focus. What are you hearing around the league, or at least as close as it is to the Browns, about how they feel Baker is performing right now?
Well, they think he's ready to take the next step and make that jump that we all are anticipating him to make. And to marry up some of the previous comments, you've got a guy that's bringing the perfect system with him from Minnesota in Kevin Stefanski, which should really help. That run game should be excellent there in Cleveland with everything that Kevin Stefanski studied under Gary Kubiak and Rick Dennison. Now, the issue, of course, here that they're going through camp right now is they've had this outbreak of injuries. Jarvis Landry caught that touchdown pass, left practice a little early. They don't think it's very serious. He's had a hip injury during the offseason. They're hoping Odell Beckham Jr. is fully healthy, which he wasn't last year. And then, of course, yesterday they lost their rookie second-round draft pick, Grant Delpit, who was slated to start at free safety, to a season-ending torn Achilles. He will have surgery. He will miss the season. And their cornerback, Greedy Williams, also left practice with a shoulder injury. When Kevin Stefanski was asked today if Greedy Williams would miss a significant amount of time, he said, "We'll see. We're still evaluating it," which tells you that it looks like he's going to miss some time at the very least. The question is how much. So no Grant Delpit and maybe no Greedy Williams for a little period of time.
Well, listen, if y'all want to know about abs, I'm the guy to talk to. I got the best one pack in the whole wide world.
And a keto ain't working.
Listen, here's the deal, man. Let's get to the Browns, okay? Here's the deal. This is Baker's do-or-die season. And I know a lot of people have talked about, well, he's had all of these coaches, and obviously Kitchens wasn't the guy for the job. But as we've seen in this league, time is continuously running out. So all of the things that Dan and Mina just said, and even Shefty, what he said, I believe that from you guys. You are some of the best minds when you talk about seeing guys be in a position to thrive. What I do know is this. It's really about how Baker performs. You can draw up the best plays. You can put him in the great situation, but he has to be able to make those decisions and move this Cleveland football team where they want to go. Do I believe he can? Yes, because of the offseason, because of the quietness and the normalcy that he's ingratiated himself with in his life. I think he's poised to have a good season, but I still need to see it.
Yeah, well, and guys, look, he still has Odell Beckham Jr. on this team. And according to ESPN's Next Gen Stats, OBJ faced the fourth highest rate of double teams last season. You got to think maybe a new scheme opens him up a little bit more, too. Lots more news going on around the league. We'll get to that. But there's a far more important story today to talk about out of Detroit. And we want to focus back in on that. The Lions canceled practice today to protest the shooting of Jacob Blake. Cell phone video showed Blake was shot multiple times in the back by Wisconsin police, and his father says he's now paralyzed from the waist down. Today, instead of practicing, the Lions chose to address reporters as a team in front of their building to deliver a message that they will be part of the change in the United States against police brutality. Here's head coach Matt Patricia on the day.
You know, I just give credit to our players for being open and caring for each other and loving each other enough to have that conversation, to share, to trust, to have that space to, you know, to speak and to listen. So, I mean, I know, you know, there's the football side of it, but, you know, quite frankly, you know, if we made a difference or we impacted people, that affects them in the long run. You know, football's only for so long. So I think that was what was important for us today. And
we'll continue to follow this story, bring you any updates as it continues to unfold.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8. S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Jamal Adams has been a dominant playmaker since entering the league in 2017. He's logged the third most snaps of any defensive back over those last three seasons. And he can get after the quarterback, racking up 12 sacks in his career, the most through a DB's first three seasons since sacks became official in 1982. And he's already a two-time Pro Bowler, but unlike fellow Pro Bowl safeties from 2017 class like Buda Baker and Eddie Jackson, Adams remains on his rookie contract. So let's welcome in Jamal Adams, and we'll get to the particulars in a second. But we were waiting on you, Jamal, and Marcus Spears said, hey, there's this thing about these LSU guys, like they got to get clean before their interviews. So is that what you were doing just now?
Yeah, definitely. I'm not going to lie to you. I received a compliment from one of my guys over here. He said, man, the attention to detail as far as when you go on to the camera and you speak. I'm all about that. I would say, you know, off the field, I'm a pretty boy. So, you know, I definitely got to look good. Mama's watching.
J.A., I told everybody. I told our producers. I told Laura. We got a thing where we from about making sure we straight when we show up on camera. Everybody get on me all the time about why you got to do this, why you got to do. It's in our blood. That's what we bred.
Yeah, look good, feel good, man. Play good. You already know.
All right, now that we got that out of the way, let's get to the important stuff. Jamal, at one point earlier today, you were trending on Twitter after the news of Buda Baker's deal. What's your reaction to finding out that Baker would be the highest paid safety in the league, considering you're still on your rookie contract?
Well, yeah, first off, I didn't know I was trending. but, you know, I seen that he did get paid, and I'm happy for Buda. We have a little relationship, you know, the times we've seen each other at the Pro Bowl and whatnot. I'm happy for him, man. It's not about me. I don't like the fact that I was trending during his day. This is his big day, and I don't want to take anything from him. So hats off to him, and I definitely have nothing but love and respect for him.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
J.A., I know you personally. I know how you built. My question is, I got to go back and ask this question. When did you know that it was time to get out of New York?
Yeah, man, it was tough. It was all about, you know, at first it was all about trying to build that legacy and, keep fighting. And I knew it was time when, you know, honestly, I went through a little depression towards the end of my last year. I kind of knew that it was time to move on, man. I had deep talks with a lot of people that are close to me. I even, told you a little bit about it. When I had a deep conversation with my mother, when she said that it was time for me to move on, I knew I was going to, make the right decision. Did I want it to go down like that? No, obviously. But, it was never about the money, man. You know, it's all about just the love of the game and just having the respect and obviously winning. I wanted to be respected and I wanted people to know my worth. But at the end of the day, you know, those days are, you know, we moved past. I'm at a great organization. I think from hearing a lot of guys and hearing a lot of stories, this is the best of the best and we get treated like the best. But we also work hard on the field and they just do it right from top to the bottom. So I'm excited to be a Seattle Seahawk, man. I can tell you that.
We'll get to the Seahawks in a second because I do want to hear all about that. But there was an exchange on Twitter that happened with you and Le'Veon Bell, a back and forth after the Jets had traded you to Seattle. Le'Veon tweeted, "People do all the hooting and hollering, get you brought in just to leave. LOL, I like people, weird, yo." Actually, you know what? I messed that up. Whatever. You see what he says right there. And then you wrote back and said, "We'll see you on week 14. So talk to me about what that exchange was like. Have you guys spoken since? Just walk me through the whole thing.
I'm never trying to bring anybody down. You know, obviously he had an opinion about how he felt, but you know, I had to do what was best for me. Just like he did what was best for him, you know, when his time was up and he had to, make a decision for himself and his family. So I had to do what's best for me. Obviously I have nothing but respect for Le'Veon and I hope, you know, he continues to have success and continues to kill it. Other than that, I'm not worried about that, man. I've moved on. I'm at a happy place in my life. I don't worry about none of that.
My guy, you know what, man? It's funny how things work out after our
absolutely, bro.
The few that we had. Listen, man, Seattle knew what they needed. They understood what this division was about. George Kittle is in San Francisco. Right. You got to face him twice a year. Tell us a little bit about what you're thinking about that challenge along with some of the heat that y'all have in that division.
Yeah, man, I'm excited, bro, because honestly, we're in this division. This is the best division, in my opinion, in the NFL. Every day you got to bring your A game. Every week you got to bring your A game, whatever it is. And, I'm excited to match up with Kittle. When we get those battles, it's going to be fun. A lot of trash talking. I know him a little bit through the Pro Bowl that one year and seeing his personality and how he gets down. And he's full of energy, very passionate. Obviously, one of the best tight ends, if not the best tight end in the game. And I'm excited to go against him, man. It just kind of brings me back to the Gronk memories. When I did face Gronk, obviously my rookie year, he got the best of me. And then it kind of switched over and then we were just battling it out. So it's going to be fun, man. I look forward to matchups like that. But whatever it is, man, it's never going to be about me and him as far as in the game. It's going to be about who wins the game, so I don't want to take away from the flashy lights and whatnot and all the media getting the story. But it's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to it. And I'm also looking forward to, matching up with Jay Reid, good friend of mine, a part of the Jordan brand. So I'm looking forward to facing those guys.
All right. Thank you so much, Jamal Adams, for joining us. I promise I won't read anybody else's tweets from here on out. We appreciate you. You're awesome.
Hey, listen, man. Listen. I'm so happy for you, bro. I knew how bad you wanted it. You in a position, man. You got Russ over there who you already know is a beast. I look forward to seeing you play this
man,
year.
Man, I appreciate it, man. As long as we got three, man, we got a chance, and that's all that matters, man.
We've all seen Ryan Fitzpatrick wave his wand and impress us with his Fitz magic. But lately in South Beach, there have been more reps, more opportunities, and more reasons to be impressed with rookie quarterback Tua Tagovailoa. So let's go right to Miami. And for more, we bring in Cameron Wolf into our conversation. And Cameron, you've been out on the practice field. You're out there with the Dolphins quarterbacks watching them today. What can you tell us?
Laura, it was a defense's day, but Ryan Fitzpatrick and Tua Tagovailoa had their highlights too. And boy, the energy was flowing. Fitzpatrick was lighting it up in the red zone. At one point, he had four consecutive plays, all touchdowns. Now, Fitz is the expected week one starter, and from what we've seen so far in practice, he should be. As far as Tua, he was coming off his best practice yet Monday, but Tuesday wasn't quite as crisp. A few misfires and batted balls, but a decent day overall. He hasn't quite looked like the second coming of Dan Marino yet, but his week one to week two progress has been apparent. He's more aggressive and more efficient. So Tua's time is not now, but it is coming.
Yeah, it's important to remember, too, that, of course, Tua is recovering from that significant hip injury. So anything he does out there is probably going to be a little bit affected by that. Marcus, does Tua need to start week one if he's healthy?
Damn, Cameron Wolf just stole all my thunder. Yeah, Laura, but he just said Fitz is playing better in practice. Listen, this is what I've said all along. If Tua outperforms Fitz in practice and he shows that he's healthy, he should start week one for the Dolphins. I don't know what this process is. Joel Embiid just got done with a process and everybody just got fired in Philadelphia. So if Tua was going to be better in training camp and it was going to be apparent that he was the best option for this team, he should start week one.
No chance, no shot. That is absolutely not the right thing to do. October 20th, 2019, against Mississippi State, he has the hip injury. And one of the questions is he going to walk the same way again after that injury? Now you guys want to throw him out behind the Miami Dolphins offensive line, which was the worst offensive line in football last year? You know how you ruin a young rookie quarterback? Put him behind a terrible offensive line. You know what the average snap or the average second per snap when the ball had to get out of Ryan Fitzpatrick's hands last year was? 2 seconds. 2 seconds. Put a rookie quarterback that's coming off a devastating injury. Tua should not play to 2021.
Ooh, okay. I don't know about that. But you definitely don't want to David Carr him. Look, we've seen this play out with Fitzpatrick every year. He's going to play a few games. He's going to light it up. Then he's going to throw a bunch of interceptions. And then it'll be Tua time. If the Dolphins are smart, they can do sort of what the New York Giants did last year. Find the right time to ease him in. Maybe once that offensive line looks a little better. And when that happens, Marcus, to quote Laura Rutledge, we will be hooting and hollering.
Oh, no.
Because he'll be ready to succeed.
Hooting and hollering all over town. Hey, Shefty, I want to get your thought on this because I think the time is really – I'm just going to keep powering through. You guys can laugh at me. I think the time is really important here. It would be 302 days since Tua Tagovailoa has played in a football game if he were to start week one, so even longer beyond that if he were to start later in the season. What do you think about that delay?
Well, Laura, there's the physical component and there's the mental component that Dan alluded to of a rookie quarterback coming in right away and trying to adapt. And that's without a real offseason program where they were on the field, which makes it even tougher for a rookie quarterback like Tua to step in when the organization, I think, has been preparing all along for Ryan Fitzpatrick to be the opening day starter. They're not trying to rush Tua to get him ready. And very rarely do we see a rookie quarterback assert himself right away and step in and take a job from a veteran before the season begins. The last quarterback I can remember doing that was Russell Wilson from Matt Flynn in Seattle. Short of that, it's very uncommon to have that happen.
All right, guys, we've done about 58 minutes or so of TV. I need one more thing from all of you. Shefty, you start.
Well, today was the day that we saw a lot of teams say that they're not going to have fans for at least the early part of the season. No fans in Minnesota for the Vikings home games early on. No fans in the state of California for the Chargers, Rams, and 49ers home games. No fans in Buffalo for the opener. No fans in Cincinnati for the opener. And I think it's a surprise every time we hear a team say there are going to be any fans at all in attendance.
So the word out of Giants camp is that new head coach Joe Judge is laying down the law. See what I did there? Hard practices, coaches running laps, no names on the jerseys. And look, it's fine if that's authentic to him and if it's resonating with the players. But the second they lose, it puts a target on his back, especially in the New York media.
Don't continue to believe that it's going to take time for Tom Brady and his weapons to get accustomed with each other, because that was the case in New England with a guy like Joey Galloway or Chad Ochocinco, who are old. Mike Evans, Chris Godwin are young. When Randy Moss went to New England, 98 catches his first year. Wes Welker, 112. Gronk, the first full season, 90 catches. Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, and Tom Brady, they're going to be just fine.
Yeah, like you were seeing in that graphic just now, the San Francisco 49ers need a receiver. Bottom line, listen, Brandon Ayuk went away with a soft tissue. Obviously, Debo had his offseason mishap, and Jalen Hurd to an ACL.
We
can talk about how good Kittle is. We could talk about Garoppolo and what he can do. They need a guy on the outside. They lost Emmanuel Sanders to the New Orleans Saints, and now they need a guy to assert himself out there. Hopefully, Ayuk can come be that number one option. But the 49ers in trouble if they don't end up with a receiver start of the season.
Shefty, jump in there.
Marcus, they're just fine there. They're just fine there. Brandon Ayuk is expected to be back before the start of the regular season. Dante Pettis has looked good in camp. Trent Taylor's almost healthy. They'll get back Deebo Samuel. They'll be fine there at wide receiver, Marcus.
And, okay. Don't forget.
I'm fine with that.
If Jordan Reed is healthy, they can play with two tight ends on the field with Juszczyk. That's a big deal for San Francisco and Shanahan.
All right. We will be with you again tomorrow, same time, same place, right here on ESPN. And you better believe we're going to be hooting and hollering. So tune in for that. NFL Live coming your way tomorrow. Thanks for watching.